This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
I'm pleased to hear that Reform seem to have, you know, had a good start at KCC. And, you know, I know that their leader was a very fine BBC producer, and we've all got to wish them well, whether or not people support Reform. You know, you've got to want the best thing for the people of Gravesham and the people of Kent, and ultimately for the people of this country.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast, your go-to source for insightful discussions on local and national political matters. Join us as we take a deep dive into local government across the county. Find out what the key decision makers have to say, what your money is being spent on, and how the party's policies could affect how we live. Plus, don't miss our regular feature, Westminster Watch, where we dissect the latest developments and decisions shaping the political landscape in the heart of the UK's capital. Engage with us as we delve into the issues that matter to you and explore the dynamic world of politics from a Kent perspective.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast. In the week, former Gravesham MP Adam Holloway quit the Tories to join Reform UK. We spoke to a 20-year-old from Dover who's become president of a small Balkan nation, well, sort of, kind of, and a Labour MP who is at odds with the Labour councillor she used to sit on over plans over more housing. I'm Simon Finley, the local democracy reporter covering Kent County Council, and I'm joined by Dan Essen, who covers borough and district councils.
Hello.
And Robert Boddy, who looks after Medway Council.
Hello.
And senior news editor Nikki White, who'll be talking about what's happening in Westminster.
Hello.
And this week's guest is the aforementioned Adam Holloway, who will be explaining why he's done what he's done and what it means for his future. Dan, kicking off with you, what have you been looking at this week?
So like you said, I actually went to Dover to meet with the self-declared president of a small country in the Balkans. His name is Daniel Jackson. He was born in Australia, but his family are from Dover and he now lives in Dover again. He's 20 and also claims to be the rightful head of state of head of state and government of a small country he and some others have declared called the Free Republic of Verdis.
This is fascinating. How do you become president of your own country then?
Well, in this case, basically by finding a blank space on the map. Mr. Jackson and his mates realised quite some years ago in 2019, when he was only 15, that the Serbian-Croatian border dispute after the Yugoslav wars left several patches of land along the Danube River technically unclaimed by either country. As such, he and a few others decided to claim one of them for their own and say that international law supports their right to establish a state there, since nobody else claims it. The area is only about the size of the Vatican and doesn't have anyone permanently living there. Mr. Jackson's and his colleagues' attempts to permanently settle the area a couple of years ago ended up with them being deported and given a lifetime ban from Croatia. So he's left running a self-declared government in exile from Dover.
And do they have any real chance of success?
No, not really. I mean, no recognised state has ever been formed in this way. There is other unclaimed land elsewhere in the world. There's some in Egypt and Sudan, and there's some in Antarctica, and some people have tried to claim countries there, but, you know, they're not recognised. He tells me they're trying to establish relationships with politicians and NGOs, especially in, you know, Serbia and Croatia, but thus far, no real luck. So they're not on the way to getting a seat at the UN just yet, but they seem like they're pretty serious about trying.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Robert, what's going on in Medway?
A couple of weeks ago, I talked about a public consultation for a proposed 750 homes on land off Pump Lane in Raynham. Well, the first of those public consultation events occurred on the 21st, and the campaign group which prevented a previous application for 1,250 homes on the 126-acre site was back in force outside and said that although some details had changed, it was, in effect, exactly the same.
And are they likely to win again?
Well, the last time around, they had the support of Medway Council and successfully defeated the application and subsequent appeal. This time, the authority itself has allocated this land for housing, which campaigners described as devastating and said it didn't make sense considering £250,000 of taxpayer money was spent on legal costs fighting that appeal. There was another protest on the evening of the 31st at the second public consultation event, where they were supported by the MP for Gillingham and Raynham, Nishaba Khan, which does put her at odds with the Labour-run council she was previously a part of. Council leader Vince Mabel says circumstances have changed from when the authority fought the appeal, and the reallocation of housing sites has meant the development on land off Pump Lane is necessary. Regardless of the council's position, campaigners say they will fight on till the very end.
Okay, thanks, Rob.
Simon, what's going on at County Hall?
Well, the place is starting to wind down for the summer break. August is always a fairly quiet period. But it turns out that as a parting shot to the new leadership at KCC, the government confirmed to us in the week that the revenue it will receive from the Dartford toll next year could be as high as £46 million more. Back in June, the Roads Minister, Lillian Greenwood, announced that the toll would increase in price from £2.50 to £3.50 on September the 1st, although there's a 70p discount for prepaid customers. The hike in revenue in extra revenue resulted in renewed calls by Kent Council leader Lynan Kemkaran for a slice of the windfall, the size of which he described as astonishing and shocking.
Why is Leah so incensed?
Well, because a few weeks ago she called on the government to give County Council a slice of the extra revenues because KCC has to maintain 5,400 miles of highways, including many of the A roads which serve the Channel ports. And now it turns out that the government's real focus for the toll increase is to pay, we think, for the Lower Thames Crossing, which is meant to connect Kent to Essex and relieve some of the pressure from the Dartford Bridge and Tunnel. Councillor Kemkaran made the point that many people made a few years back, that the tolls were meant to stop as soon as the Dartford Crossing was paid for by its public tolls. Instead, it was decided that it would be kept going and has now increased. Councillor Kemkaran feels it's unfair to the council and unfair to the people of Kent. And it has to be said that the people who live around Dartford area do get a heavily discounted rate, but for everyone else, it will mean an increase. Just as a caveat to that point, the government's announcement, the Department for Transfer, derived its projected increase in revenues by modelling anticipated traffic flows, but also warned that other factors could change the £46 million figure in the future. Nikki, what's been going on at Westminster then?
The House of Commons is now a week into the summer recess, but that doesn't mean our MPs will be disappearing from sight. Now, in fact, some of them were called back much sooner than they expected when the Prime Minister recalled his senior team of ministers on Tuesday to discuss the situation in Gaza. As the long-running war in the area continues, the population is facing mountain famine, according to the United Nations, and we've seen some fairly harrowing pictures coming out of there as well. Now, this week, Sir Keir announced that the UK will recognise the state of Palestine from September, unless Israel takes what he described as substantive steps to end the situation in Gaza. Now, he said that if Israel allows more aid into Gaza, stops annexing land in the West Bank, agrees to a ceasefire and signs up to a long-term peace process over the next 2 months, then the UK would refrain from recognising that Palestinian state.
That's a big move. How did Israel respond to that?
Not well. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the move rewards Hamas's monstrous terrorism and punishes its victims. But Sakira's, he's pointed out that the UK is also insisting that Hamas immediately releases all remaining Israeli hostages, signs up to a ceasefire, disarms and accepts that they will play no part in the government of Gaza. Now, all this has been happening as high-level representatives are meeting at a UN conference on Tuesday, where they urged Israel to commit to a Palestinian state and gave their unwavering support to a two-state solution. The New York Declaration, as it's been called, that was issued by the conference, it sets out a phased plan to end the nearly eight-decade conflict and the ongoing war in Gaza and see an independent and demilitarised Palestine living side by side peacefully with Israel. Now, things are changing day by day, but the images that we've seen coming out of the region, just showing the sheer desperation of starving people, are clearly having an impact and prompting moves to get more aid in as soon as we can.
So what have our Kent MPs had to say for themselves?
Dover's MP Mike Tapp, he's a former soldier, and as a result, he says that he's seen the brutal cost of war, not only for those who are in uniform, but the civilians who have to bear the consequences as well. He said what's happening in Gaza is a humanitarian disaster that demands urgent and moral leadership to allow aid in. He added, this wasn't about picking sides, it's about just refusing to look away. Now, he said, while Israel has a right to defend itself, aid needs to get to those who need it, and that includes Israelis as well as Palestinians. Sakir's announcement was also welcomed by Thanet MP Polly Billington, who for several months has been urging the government to recognise a Palestinian state. She described the move as momentous and said that while she knew it would not be enough to end the human misery in Gaza, she felt the UK had at least shown Israel that we're just not going to stand by and let it continue. And she said she'd actually be urging the government to go further and faster with its actions.
Further and faster, that's the new buzzword in the Labour Party, isn't it? Okay, thanks, Nikki.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Adam Holloway was the Conservative MP for Gresham for 19 years until he was unseated at the general election last year. Now he's made the shocking announcement that he has joined Reform UK and he's here with us on the Kent Politics Podcast today. Welcome, Adam.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's nice to be here and talking to the local democracy correspondents.
Thank you very much indeed. First, the most obvious question, Adam, is
Why? Why have you done it?
Well, firstly, I don't think there's anything shocking here. The country now has a truly shocking government that over the next 4 years are going to go and do still more damage, particularly economically. And I believe that Reform are the only people who are really serious about trying to address the problems. You know, they're not perfect, but they understand the gravity of what needs to happen. And the Conservative Party, which has many very, very good people, both in Parliament, but also in Kent and in Gravesham. But I think the problem is that there are too many people in the Conservative Parliamentary Party who wouldn't follow the remarkable Kemi Badenoch over the top, as it were. And so I just don't think that the Conservative Party are going to cut it. So that's why I'm making this shift today. I mean, I actually thought about it before the last election and then before the local elections. But yeah, I think the country needs a rescue mission. And I think, you know, Reform is serious about doing that.
Silly question, but why Reform? Why not some other party?
Well, because I think Reform are the people most likely to be able to get enough votes in order to enact the programme that, you know, as I say, they see as a rescue mission. That's the reason why.
Mm, okay.
Obviously, I'm not an idiot. I look at the polls and my old seat, you know, is much more likely to be won by Reform than the Conservatives, but that's not why I'm doing it. I mean, Reform already had a parliamentary candidate. I've no idea whether he wants to do it again. That's not what it's about. If it was about that, I'd probably wait 2 years, you know, to see which way the wind's going. And I'm not doing that. I'm doing it now because there is a job to be done over the next 4 years to build up Reform, to get policies, to make a plan to, you know, do stuff with power, to get stuff through the trade unions, the civil service, all those vested interests. You know, Reform's also got to find many hundreds of people to be parliamentary candidates. You know, there is an enormous amount to do in order to try to sort things out in this country. And it's just not too soon to start. And, you know, for me personally, to play a tiny part in that. You know, from my background, when I was a Tory MP for 19 years, you know, I wasn't a little careerist weasel. Yeah, you know, he went along with everything. I didn't, you know. Part of the reason I was never a senior minister was because I always tried not to rebel against my constituents. And my constituents are now very plainly saying that this is the sort of direction of travel. And I'm also very attracted to Reform. I'll give you this story. So, last week I was just walking around Gravesend Town Centre asking people whether they thought I should join Reform. And there was a Sikh gentleman whose name I don't know, but I've known him for some time. And I stop and have exchanged a few pleasantries. And he says to me, so I said to him, you know, do you think I should join Reform? What do you think? And he said, well, what he liked about it is that Reform is colorblind. And I think that the country, you know, hasn't been helped by this awful sort of racist and divisive diversity and inclusion agenda that stresses people's differences. I think Reform understands that all of us in this country have to come together in the national interest and not our own selfish political ones.
So you stayed a member of the Tory party all the way through a historic expansion of mass immigration, especially under Boris Johnson's government, through scandal after scandal after scandal, which led to the party being, you know, completely eviscerated at the general election last year. And yet through all of that, you stayed a member of the party. The Brexit party was there as a viable right-wing alternative before that, and now Reform. And now suddenly when it looks like Reform stand a good chance of taking your good seat back, all of a sudden you join Reform. Many people say that looks pretty opportunistic.
Well, maybe you didn't listen to my last answer, because I've got no idea whether I'll be the candidate next time round.
But surely you will.
That's not true, and that's actually not fair. You know, my whole background, the way that I've conducted myself throughout my political career was not a careerist. I was a kind of independent sort of voice. But you're absolutely right. You know, I was there when the Boris Johnson astonishing levels of mass immigration were taking place. And, you know, I was wandering around Gravesend Town Centre, as I said the other day. And, you know, I mean, I just wasn't aware of it. I'm sort of horrified that we weren't really. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to defend that. I'm trying to make it right.
Can I just ask you, just as a point of clarification, and did you approach Reform or did Reform approach you?
I approached Reform, yeah. I texted, I mean, I know Farage because I've been on his programme a few times, speaking about Ukraine mainly, I think. And I said to him once that I thought that he'd been treated very badly after Brexit. He should have been, you know, put in the House of Lords at the very least, you know, because of an extraordinary achievement. So I've had a good sort of on-air relationship with him, but I'd never met him before. So I texted him the other day and I said, look, can I come and see you? And I made an appointment when I saw him last week.
Okay. You seem to rate Kemi Badenoch quite highly as a leader, but you don't seem to be very complimentary in your Spectator article about the people who surround her.
Well, I mean, you know, I have admiration for many Tory MPs. Indeed, you know, some of them are very close friends of mine. But I think that because of the way that Conservative Central Office recruited people, you know, with an eye to this DEI stuff that I referred to earlier, I think there are too many people, good people, but people who might be more comfortable in the Lib Dems. And I think that's the problem, that if she wanted to sort of charge up out of the trenches and, you know, into no man's land, I think, you know, too many of those wouldn't follow her. It's like, So that's my take.
So obviously, the prince across the water in the Tory party at this point is Robert Jenrette. There's been much speculation that as soon as the rules make her eligible to do so in November, people will challenge Kemi Badenoch's leadership of the party. And yeah, Robert Jenrette seems not to go to too much effort to hide the fact that he has ambitions in that direction. Surely if Robert Jenrette becomes the leader of the Tory party, that might be a bit of a problem for Reform, because he tacks significantly further to the right, at least rhetorically, and that means you'll be competing for much the same space in the electorate in 2029. So surely, even if you think Kemi Badenoch's quite ineffectual, surely you'd quite like her to stay at this point.
So part of the reason I'm not feeling very well today is because I was drinking wine last night with Robert Jenrette, so happens, who's a dear friend of mine. And sure, the Tory party's prospects may improve. You know, we'll have to see. I can't answer that question. But what I do know is that whilst it's not perfect, I know that Reform is serious. And I think now's the time for, you know, as many good people as possible to, you know, get on board for what Reform see as, you know, a rescue mission.
Do you know of any former MPs or MPs who are still at Westminster who might also consider joining Reform or even joining the Lib Dems? Is there any kind of that feeling?
I don't. I've been careful about telling any of my friends about this move, because I'm publishing an article, but it'll be now on the Spectator website, where I want to sort of put out my stall. But that is one thing that I'll be doing, obviously, over the next few weeks. I'm sure I'll be getting texts from some of my friends in Parliament, you know, strongly rebuking me. But, you know, I'm also going to chat to other of my friends, you know, because I think, you know, you could wait. You could wait 2 years to see which way the wind's going and are you more likely to be re-elected as Conservative or as Reform. But I think the right thing to do now is just to be bold and get on board and, you know, try to get Reform to a place where it's fit for government to do the right thing by everybody who lives in this country, because the next 4 years are going to be even rougher than the last four.
Well, the obvious question is, and you kind of touched on it before, is whether you will try to become the candidate for Gravesham for the 2029. Are you going to be seriously considering that option?
Honestly, I spoke to Matthew Fraser-Moat, who was the Reform candidate last time.
Who's a councillor, yeah.
You know, and I'm not, I'm coming in with humility, wanting to help. I mean, of course, that's in my mind. Of course, I'd like to represent those people, because, you know, I know so many thousands of families that, you know, my team and I over all that time have helped in, you know, we've been that foul weather friend. And so I know my way around and everything else. But I am not standing here because the most important thing to me is to be the MP for Gravesham again. That's something for 2 years' time. I'm standing here because I want to, in my small way, to make a contribution to get Reform fit for government.
We got local government reorganisation coming up, and there is a fair chance that there's going to be a mayoralty. Would you consider throwing your hat in the ring for that?
No, I don't think I would, actually.
Well, it
basically, it hasn't occurred to me until you just mentioned it now, to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, there's probably better people, but, you know, people who actually understand local government, which I don't really. I'm pleased to hear that Reform seem to have, you know, had a good start at KCC. And, you know, I know that their leader was a very fine BBC producer, and we've all got to wish them well, whether or not people support Reform. You know, you've got to want the best thing for the people of Gravesham, the people of Kent, and ultimately for the people of this country. When I wrote the Spectator article before the local elections, I sort of arguing to myself about whether or not I should go to Reform. I ran the article into ChatGPT, and I said, you know, what would be a good title for the article? And I haven't used any of these words in the article, but it came back and it said, Reform is a rescue mission. Get on board. That wasn't me. That was ChatGPT,
which is the headline you put on the
I'm a plagiarist. He didn't write it himself. He gave it to ChatGPT. Well, only the titles.
You mentioned your closeness to the Gravesham constituency and the people there, but you know, if we stop members of the public in Gravesham in the street and ask them what Adam Holloway had actually achieved in 19 years as a Conservative MP, what do you think they might say?
You know, I've always found this a really hard question because, you know, I can't put my finger on anything. I mean, you know, I haven't delivered thousands of jobs or a science park or. Mm. Because the reality, actually, when you're a backbench MP, you know, you're not the local council. You don't actually have that much power. Your power is more sort of subtle. It's about your relationship with the police area commander. It's about your relationship with, you know, the council leader and the council officer. So, you know, I'm actually close friends with the Labour leader of the council, John Burden, you know, who, you know, is a fine man. Mm. And when you're the MP, you've got to use your relationships. But I suppose the biggest thing that we did, and that this is, you know, with my team as particularly, is the casework where you help families, you know, often at the most awful moments of their lives. And it could be, you know, everything from, you know, benefits to child support to immigration issues to arguments over a cadaver and family politics. It can be, you know, absolutely anything. And I think that's probably where the biggest achievement would be. Mm. And I think we've helped people from something like 2 out of 3 households over that, you know, very long period. And that's just I had a guy come up to me the other day and he said, "Oh, Adam, you know, I mean, you know, when we had all that stuff going on in our family, we thought you were our family's friend. And, you know, you just haven't bothered being in touch with us since then." And I said to him, I said, "Look, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't have the bandwidth. I can only be your foul weather friend. I can't be your fair weather friend." So I say that's the place that I think I made the most impact. I'd love to be able to give you a list of, you know, science parks and everything else that I've done. It just doesn't kind of work like that.
Yeah, well, a lot of backpage MPs, well, a lot of what they do is not seen at all because it's done with your caseworkers and using what influence you have to try and get their people's cases in front of the right people. I mean, local newspapers and local media can take up people's cases, and we sort of are much more visible about it. But you guys are slightly different.
As part of the reason why Reform seems to be such an insurgent party and so successful is essentially because the public, as you correctly identify, are extremely sick of a very clearly failed political establishment. But, you know, you're a former Tory MP. In what way are you not part of that establishment?
Of course I'm part of it. I mean, I can't possibly pretend that I'm not. What I'm trying to do, you know, from what I've learned over the last couple of decades and from what I learned when I was a TV reporter and from what I learned, you know, when I was a soldier and what I learned during my upbringing, you know, I want to try and bring a little bit of that to solving some of the very deep and very serious problems that are facing the country. And as I say, you know, the voters of Gravesham, you know, as the polls stand at the moment, seem to agree that the people most likely to be able to resolve those problems is Reform, which won't be perfect. Nothing ever is. But I think now is the time to get on board for what they're describing as a sort of national rescue mission. And everybody who can, we should play our part.
Adam Holloway, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to speak to us today.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, that's your lot this week. Thanks to Dan, Robert and Nikki for their contributions and to special guest Adam Holloway. Don't forget to keep an eye on Kent Online for the latest politics coverage. And you can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter by visiting kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.